genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstormin' with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstorminonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. And you want to keep that number handy because we have two sandwiches or two salads to give away from Urbane Cafe, and we'll be giving those away later in the show. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is American Classics. Each of my guests is an American classic in his or her own right. My first guest is a true American hero. He served our country during Vietnam and was taken prisoner for over 7 years in a North Vietnamese prison camp. During that time, he learned about survival. He'll teach us what he learned from his book titled Beyond Survival. My second guest is an American film star. She's best known as one of the Alfred Hitchcock blondes. She's also the mother of another famous film actress. We'll talk about her life in and out of the movies. My third guest is an expert in the fine art of American negotiating. We'll discuss the recent negotiations in Congress over raising the debt ceiling limit and illustrate his techniques from his book titled Negotiation Boot Camp. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Jerry Coffey, was born in Modesto, California, and joined the Navy in 1957 after he graduated from UCLA with his Bachelor of Arts degree. During 1962, during the Cuban Missile Crisis, Jerry was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross for flying low-level reconnaissance missions over Cuba, taking photographs that ultimately were used by the United States, the United Nations ambassador, to prove the existence of Soviet missiles there. He was featured in a 2007 History Channel series, The Man, the Moment, and the Machine. His daring mission was also documented in Michael Dobbs' book titled 1 Minute to Midnight, Kennedy, Khrushchev, and Castro on the Brink of Nuclear War. In February of 1966, while flying a combat mission over North Vietnam, his reconnaissance jet was downed by enemy fire. He parachuted safely, but was captured immediately. For the next 7 years, he was a prisoner of war in a communist prison in North Vietnam. He was repatriated back to the United States in February of 1973. Jerry returned to operational duties. He retired eventually from active duty in the Navy after 28 years of military service. His military decorations include the Silver Star, 2 awards for the Legion of Merit, the Distinguished Flying Cross, 2 Bronze Stars, the Air Medal, 2 Purple Hearts, and the Vietnam Service Medal with 13 stars. Jerry has earned his master's degree in political science from Cal Berkeley. He studied at the prestigious National Defense University in Washington, D.C. He and his wife live in Hawaii. Joining us from Hawaii, how are you, Jerry?
Hey, good morning, Bill. Aloha to
Aloha.
You, to listeners.
Aloha for a very early morning for you, because it's 3 hours difference between here and Hawaii at this time of the year. So thank you for being our special guest. First of all, Jerry, on behalf of my listeners, let me thank you for your years of service and also for the sacrifice that you've made for this country. Thank you for that.
And I appreciate that. Thank you.
Let's jump into this, because these are difficult times for many Americans, and we often think that we've got it bad, but that's no comparison to what you went through as a POW in a camp in Vietnam. So during your seven-year incarceration, you had to develop life and survival skills, and along the way you learned a lot of valuable lessons that you now put into practice after you have been released. So what are some of the lessons that you've learned while you were in prison, Jerry?
Well, one of the most important lessons I learned was that just because we were incarcerated in really brutal and inhumane circumstances much of the time in Hanoi, it doesn't change the fact that we were able to use that time positively. I learned so much about myself, about my fellow man, about our enemy, seeing communism up close and personal, for example, and about my future, about my role in my life. Although I have to say my life has been so good since I've returned, I couldn't even fantasize at that point how good it was going to be. But the main point was that we used that time so productively to learn as much as we could about ourselves, about one another, studying. It was like a small university in Hanoi as we tapped information through the walls from cell to cell. Any man who had any knowledge to share or to offer did so, and it was like a small university in downtown Hanoi.
Now, Hanoi University, it's a harsh way to learn your lessons. But let's talk about that if we can, Jerry, because you just alluded to it in your answers. You could not speak to one another while you were imprisoned. You had to, as you put it, tap between cells. I presume that you were using Morse code to send messages to tap that through. Take us through it. How would you communicate with the guy in the cell next to you?
Actually, Bill, we didn't use Morse code because Morse code is rote memory, and although we'd all been exposed to it, it was too slow and cumbersome. We used a code that was developed by almost 600 guys. The six man shot down had learned tap code as a Boy Scout.
Yeah.
It's based upon I'll go through this quickly. It's based upon a 25 letter matrix, five rows of five letters each. To get 25 letters, we live out the letter K. If you can visualize A through E atop the across the top row, F through J, the second row, third row of five, fourth row of five, fifth row of five. You tap first for the row, then for the column. A is an upper left-hand corner,
okay.
First row, first column. So A is one and one. B is one and two, second row. The first row, second column. It's a little difficult to envision, but anyway, it was a number system whereby you could tap a one and two, or a three and a three, or a five and a five. And that would give the number. And as we tap and communicate, as you could anticipate what the next word might be. So you just give a double tap on the wall, and the guy would go on to the next letter or the next word. It was amazing. You could communicate almost at a normal conversational pace.
Well, that's very interesting. I mean, when you look back on it, you guys were the precursors to texting today, weren't you?
We really were. You're absolutely right.
That's amazing.
We never tried to drive while doing tap code.
That's a good practice. Always practice safe tap. My guest is Jerry Coffey, former pre-OW during the Vietnam War, now an internationally renowned speaker, goes out, talks about some of the lessons that he learned while he was incarcerated. So, Jerry, just to follow on with this communication, so you're doing the tap code back and forth. What sort of information are you guys sharing? I mean, clearly, you know, you're talking about, hey, there's a guard coming, beware, that kind of stuff. But what learning actually went on from cell to cell?
Actually, we studied foreign languages. I learned to speak French. I'd known restaurant French before being shot down, but I honed my French skills. I learned Spanish from another Californian, Everett Alvarez, Navy officer, was there for the longest, 8.5 years. Everett was my Spanish teacher. We learned the mathematics. We learned, petroleum engineering, art history, you name it, whatever anybody had to do. We actually had we were able to live in large cell bays together, which was the last 2.5 or 3 years. We even had a Toastmasters club, for example.
Wow.
And we learned poetry from each other. We composed poetry and shared it with each other. We discussed the politics of the war and you know, giving each other encouragement, boosting each other's morale. When the guy in the cell next to you was down and hurting and being punished for whatever the reason, maybe his arms cuffed behind him for 3 weeks and his legs in the stocks on the foot of his concrete slab, and you get up to your wall frequently and tap to him at GB. We always abbreviated as much as we could, GB meaning God bless.
Mm.
He also knew that that meant hang in there, babe. Be tough. I'm praying for you.
Boy, oh boy, you talk about inhumane conditions. My guest is Captain Jerry Coffey. Jerry, the communication side of things, it's just amazing what you guys were able to accomplish while you were imprisoned like that. One of the other lessons that you learned that you had already known somewhat because you were a military officer, a Navy officer yourself, was leadership. What did you learn about leadership being incarcerated in a POW camp for 7 years?
We realized that as a POW, we were just another form of combat. We never let our guard down or never relaxed our professional competence and dedication. We made every effort to obey the American Fighting Men's and now Women's, American Fighting Men's and Women's Code of Conduct, which were six brief articles that describe our behavior as POWs. And they can talk about, you know, conduct during interrogations and maintaining your loyalty to the United States of America and supporting your senior leaders and so on. And, you know, our leadership there in prison, I think mostly of Navy retirees, now deceased, Jim Stockdale.
You sure?
Of Southern California. He was an absolute inspiration. He and Jim Stockdale and Admiral Jeremiah Denton and Air Force Colonel Robbie Reisner were the three senior men. Were there the longest, and I'll tell you, they never let us down. They always get breakthrough at the risk of being punished just for communicating. They would never shrink back. They'd always pop up again and risk the punishment and communicate, giving us encouragement and policy and guidance. They were great leaders and great inspirations.
Oh, no doubt about that. Now, you met Jim Stockdale. You met Robbie Rice while you were incarcerated. I have to ask, did you meet John McCain while you were incarcerated as well?
I did. John and I were held together in a large cell bay with about 25 other men for over 2 years, actually, and we became very, very good friends.
Oh, wow. And so do you keep up with these men now that you are all freed and leading your own lives in various parts of the country?
We do, Bill, even though it's a very diverse group, more diverse than you might think. We're very diverse politically, and sometimes we could never get any agreement on anything. But because we're all very strong individuals, and we have a reunion every 3 years or so. We have one coming up in 2014, which will be the 50th anniversary of our release, and we're going to recreate the banquet at the Nixon Library, for example, that the President and Pat Nixon threw for us in April of 1974 to celebrate our homecoming.
Wow, that is amazing. That is great. My guest is Captain Jerry Coffey. He is a former Navy pilot. He was also incarcerated in a POW camp during the war. Author of the book, Beyond Survival, Building on the Hard Times, a POW's Inspiring Story. And we're learning some of the many things that he learned while he was imprisoned. And Jerry, clearly being imprisoned, isolated as you were, tortured as you were, one of the things that you had to learn and deal with every day was overcoming adversity. What were some of the lessons that you learned in prison about overcoming adversity?
Well, the one thing we learned, that all of us learned, is that we're really tougher than we thought we might be. I mean, that doesn't mean that we're able to withstand all the challenges that were thrown in our way, but, you know, you also began to get in touch with your own humanness and realize that you have limitations and to pace yourself and to go through those periods in as intelligent way as you possibly could, so that you're never reduced to a blithering idiot and would say and do anything for them. They looked at us as resources to be exploited for military information in the earlier years and then for propaganda throughout the entire experience. And so you learned how to pace yourself. You learned how to be patient. You learned how to keep faith, to be optimistic. I attribute my survival to the four aspects of faith that I write about in my book and that I've been speaking about for the last 25 years. Faith in myself, faith in others, faith in which would include my family and my fellow prisoners there. Faith in our country, America, and faith in God. How they work for me in the prison environment, but more importantly, Bill, how they work for us on a daily basis right here at home. At one time or another, we all find ourselves as POWs, you know, prisoners of woe, as in, oh, woe is me, you know, and all those same lessons that we learned in Hanoi work for us right here at home.
All right, prisoners of woe. I made a note of that, Jerry, because that one really tickled me. It just goes to show that even in the hard times, you managed to have some humor. Talk to me about how you really managed to keep a positive outlook and maintain some sense of humor as you're going through these travails that you were going through in prison.
Bill, it was all based on faith. We had to have faith that our country would not abandon us, for example, and that we would return home someday. And every time I would go to sleep at night, I say go to bed, but it's really go to slabs looking on concrete.
Right.
But I'd say, well, that's one day closer, whenever it is. And honestly, if I'd known at the very beginning that I was going to be there for longer than 7 years, God, I don't know what I would have done. But we never let that get us down. We just kept faith in the next day and kept a positive attitude and helped each other, buoyed each other up when one guy was getting down and discouraged or depressed.
I see. Well, that's part of the teamwork that you're talking about, having faith
exactly.
In others as well. My guest is Jerry Coffey, former Navy pilot, POW, served our country in Vietnam, and now author of the book Beyond Survival. Jerry, you're a grandfather yourself, and you wouldn't wish what happened to you on another person, that's for sure. But if you could give just one lesson, one piece of advice to someone to help them be better prepared for life, what would that be?
It would have to be because, as you mentioned, you know, I wouldn't wish that experience on anybody, but I kind of feel sorry for anybody that goes bopping through life without much adversity, because you learn so much through adversity, and that's an actual important slice of life as well. you know, we all kind of agreed that it wouldn't be a bad idea for our sons and now our daughters as well to experience some kind of period like that where you have long periods of solitude, solitary confinement, and adversity, because the more adversity you experience, the more you appreciate the good times. We all have peaks and valleys, and the deeper the valleys, the higher the peaks, Bill.
All right. Well, then let me follow up with the same follow-on question to this, if I can, Jerry, because you are both a father and a grandfather. So when you're talking to your grandchildren about your experience in North Vietnam, what you learned and everything else, how do you explain your situation, and what lessons do you impart to your grandchildren who are young enough who may not really fully comprehend all of the details?
Well, as I say, do not fear adversity. And I don't say, you know, I wouldn't say, you know, ask for adversity, of course. But when it befalls us, and whatever that might be, for my grandson, you know, a bad grade in school or not being able to make a soccer team or anything like that, you know, then look at that as an opportunity, because if we recognize that adversity opens a lot of doors. And for me, that adverse seven years or so opened a lot of doors, and my life has been very, very good since then. But it's mostly attitude. I have a friend, a fellow speaker, W. Mitchell, who you might want to talk to sometime.
Sure, I know W. Mitchell. Go on, though.
He's close by in Santa Barbara, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
And he wrote a book, It's Not What Happens to You, What's He Do About It? And it's all about attitude and focus on the things that you can do instead of the things that you can't do. It's very simple.
It is, and you make it sound so simple, but I guess when you're under adverse conditions like you are, everything becomes simple, doesn't it?
You live a pretty simple life in prison, that's right. And you know, that's not all bad, because with the simplicity and the time to look deep inside of you and to get a feel for the kind of person you are and why you are the person you are, your strengths and your weaknesses, and how to maximize the strengths and bring on the weaknesses. I mean, once we were put together in large cell bays, like I mentioned when I was living with John McCain, you kind of miss the solitary confinement, believe it or not, because that was the opportunity that you would never otherwise have as you went bopping through a busy life.
Wow, that's profound. My guest is Captain Jerry Coffey. He is the author of the book, Beyond Survival, Building on the Hard Times, a POW's Inspiring Story. Jerry, what do you want readers to take away from reading Beyond Survival?
I want them to read Beyond Survival as a reminder of what is necessary to maintain our freedoms. You know, every man there in Hoa Lo prison and the little outlying satellite prisons around Hanoi that they kept open for a long time, every man there had dedicated himself to fighting for our freedom and for the security of our nation. We knew that, you know, everybody on the outside was not as dedicated as we were, and that was okay. We knew that people were going through college and having parties and that the anti-war movement was going on and so on, and that was kind of hard to deal with sometimes because we got every quote by entertainment personalities and politicians at the same time, the kinds of statements we were taking torture not to make. And you realize that life was going on out there, but we had dedicated ourselves to the defense of our country and our way of life and our values and the principles of our Constitution. And when people read the book, it gives them some insight into the sacrifices that some people are willing to make. But we're willing. We didn't die. We weren't killed. So we're very lucky, and we realize that. But we still made some very, very significant sacrifices, particularly in our own personal lives with our families.
My guest has been Captain Jerry Coffey, war hero and author of a great book. Jerry, if people like what you have to say, they like what you hear, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
My website is Captain Coffey, spelled out, Captain Coffey, www.captaincoffey.com. And my website will give much more information about how to reach me, about other aspects of my professional life, a lot of pictures and so on. And I would encourage them to check it out, CaptainCoffey.com.
Jerry, it has been a true delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Bill, I appreciate the invitation. GB, my friend.
Thanks so much. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon.